This podcast is brought to you by Viva Global. Experience the difference with Viva. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
And joining us now to discuss it all with us is Jason Pine. Jason, it's great to have you on the show.
Hi, Louise. Hey, Josh. Nice to talk to you guys again.
Jason, could the statement regarding Mark Rudin leaving the club at the end of the season be any better in terms of timing?
Yeah, look, I think the timing could have been better. Yeah, absolutely. I think in hindsight, they should have probably announced this a lot earlier. If they were going to, if they weren't going to wait until the end of the season, then I think they probably should have. I mean, look, here's a comparison. Adelaide United announced that Marco Kurtz was leaving in the middle of March and got it out of the way. And Adelaide United haven't lost a game since, and they're up into fourth, and they're unencumbered now by any speculation around Marco Kurtz. Everybody knows he's going. The speculation around Mark Rudin at Wellington Phoenix has been lingering for quite some time, and it's impossible really to tell whether that's had an impact on results. I mean, they had that great time in March, didn't they, the Phoenix, when they scored those 15 goals in three games. Last couple of games haven't been quite as good in a couple of pretty crucial outings. So, look, I think if they had their time again, the club and Mark Rudin, I think they probably would have announced the news earlier, got it out there, got it dealt with, and moved on towards the last, say, four or five games of the regular season and the finals. Fact is, it's out now. There are two games to go. The Phoenix still with a chance of obviously they're in the six of gaining that fourth spot in the home final that comes with it. But a long-winded way to answer your question, Louise. Yeah, I think it probably could have been done differently.
Piney, what's been the reaction over in New Zealand to this news? I think there's a bit of fan anger, a bit of a split opinion as to, you know, whether Rudin should be thanked for his time or whether he's taken the club along for a ride.
Yeah, it's such an interesting question, Josh. I've been battling away on social media all day, actually, on this very topic. And look, there's one thing I can tell you about Wellington Phoenix fans. They're a passionate lot. They've been through a lot, and I think there's a lot of all the stuff you talked about. And I guess I'll address them one by one. Yes, people do. A lot of fans are angry that he's going. And I think a lot of that is because of what he's done at the club, but also the fact that he is leaving midway through a 2-year contract, and I think a lot of fans were really hoping that he would stay for the 2 years at least, rather than, you know, be one and done. Yes, I think there is a lot to be said for those who say that we should be grateful for what he's done here. I myself fall into that camp. I believe that Mark Rudin has done a wonderful job at Wellington. And if it was only going to be for one season, then I'd rather have one season than no seasons. But I guess sitting in between those two points of view is the other layer of this, and that's where he will go next. And as you said, it seems to be the worst kept secret. You know, all reports are that he will be the new coach of the Western United franchise. I see they're not going to announce that until after the end of the current A-League season. But look, it seems highly likely that that's where Mark Rudin will end up, and so automatically fans over here are talking about whether he perhaps has been in the process of recruiting for that new side while he's been in Wellington, if he's talking to some of his current squad about making a move. None of these things, of course, guys, we know that to be true or even with any foundation at all, but there is a bit of a lot of emotions flying around, and they probably range from, you know, from anger through frustration to discontent, but also I think most people, even those who are really quite angry that Mark Rudin is going, would have to grudgingly at least admit that he's had a really, really positive impact in this A-League season on this team.
And Jason, just on the contract situation, I mean, we've been talking about a 2-year deal this entire time, but I've seen reports just recently, I think from the Soccer Stoppage Time show up in Sydney, that saying that it was actually a 2-year contract, but with a 3-month termination clause that could work both ways. So maybe that's indicative of the state of, you know, Australian coaching contract relations, and that maybe the coaches want a bit more security, but it can actually work both ways, and maybe the club can get caught out.
I think that's right. And it's my understanding, Josh, that the club were the ones who were keen on putting that clause in. And we all know they got burnt by Darija Kalasic last year. He really decimated the playing group and set the club back quite some distance last year. And so I think maybe the club were just a little bit cautious in recruiting an untried A-League coach. So it's my understanding that they were the ones who put that clause in. And as you say, it's now, in many ways, come back to burn them a little bit, and that it's actually, by the sounds of it, been Mark Rudan who's exercised that clause to exit the club. Having said that, I spoke to David Dome on the radio here in New Zealand yesterday, and he basically said, look, you know, there's no point us trying to keep somebody at the club, a player, a coach, or anybody who doesn't want to be here. And I don't think it's not that Mark Rudan hates it in Wellington. He's become very fond of the place. He has grown emotionally very attached to his players, to the club, to the staff, to the fans. But as we've mentioned many times, and has been talked about many times, he's here without his family. His family are in Australia, and from what I managed to gather, a move to Wellington was just not something that could be made to happen. And while his family are in Sydney and there's all the talk about him ending up in Melbourne, as again, my understanding is that a move from Sydney to Melbourne is a lot more palatable than a move from Sydney to Wellington was ever going to be. So, the contract situation, look, it seems to me that in football, if you want to get out of something, you probably can get out of it. And the clause there just made that easier, I guess, for this all to come about.
And Jason, are you privy to how the players are taking this news? And will it affect the team heading into the final series, more importantly?
Yeah, great question, Louise. I'm not privy. No, I haven't. I haven't spoken to any of the players since this news broke. They flew back into Wellington on the weekend after the game against Brisbane. They had a training session today, which didn't have a media element attached to it. So the short answer is no. What you would hope is that actually now it has the opposite effect and now galvanises them. Like I say, the speculation is ended. The rumours can stop being rumours anymore. We now know the scenario that we're in, and that is that Mark Rudan is leaving. So the full focus now can go on to the football because, I mean, what's kind of, I guess, been forgotten in all of this is that the Wellington Phoenix are actually going to play finals football this year. And if you'd offered that to most fans, you know, back in September, they would have bitten your hand off for it. So now there are two games left in the regular season, a big, big clash against Melbourne City and Wellington on Sunday night, then a trip to Perth. And as I say, that fourth spot is still within reach, I guess, depending on what happens in the Adelaide Victory game and Adelaide's final game against Brisbane Roar. So, and then the finals beyond that, at least one, possibly two, and who knows, even three games in the finals. So, look, I would hope that actually, with the distraction removed, the Phoenix can now just narrow their focus, the playing group, to the next three games, possibly four and maybe even five, and just completely narrow their focus into that little time frame of the next month and let whatever happens beyond that happen. A lot of the players are off contract. Some will stay, some won't. The coach is going, a new coach will come in. That's all beyond the middle of May. So I think all the players can do now is just focus on the here and now, and that starts on Sunday night against Melbourne City.
Speaking of the here and now, Piney, what do you put the last two games and the losses down to? It's been a dip in form. I don't know if it's, you know, just par for the course and this is just a random dip, but it seems as if it's coincided with, you know, the ramping up of the speculation about Rudan's future. Do you expect the performances maybe to level out now that the decision's been revealed?
Well, I hope so, Josh, yeah. And you're right, it's hard not to draw that conclusion and make that correlation between the heightening of the speculation and the fact that we understand that the players were told officially that Mark Rudan was leaving sometime. I haven't been able to quite work it out, but it's sometime either just after the Adelaide game or maybe even in around that Adelaide game. I think some of the senior players knew, and then everybody knew by the Brisbane game. So you look at those two performances and particularly the first halves of both games. I mean, if you wanted to rank, you know, the games the Phoenix have played this season, you know, those first halves were probably among the worst they've put out all season. In fact, the first half against Adelaide, I think, was the worst 45 minutes of football I've seen from this team in the 18-19 season. So, look, it's, as I said, hard not to draw some sort of correlation between the two things. What you hope now, though, is that, as I said before, with all this now put to one side, that at a very crucial time of the season, things can turn around because, as you both mentioned at the top of the chat, they've been great to watch Wellington this season. You know, they've defied a lot of people. They've entertained. They've been watchable. They've been a team that have scored goals, and guys like Roy Krishna and David Williams have been in career best form. You know, the emergence of youngsters like Sarpreet Singh, who we talk about a lot, Liberato Kakachi, others coming through now as well. The imports that were brought to the club, Kurto and goal, Mandy, Stephen Taylor's been good, Kopchinski. You know, there's been a lot to like about Wellington Phoenix this season. And so what you hope is that the trough is now at an end and we're back on an upward trajectory. And like I say, I can't underestimate really or stress enough the importance of Sunday night against Melbourne City. If they can win that game, they keep they keep their top four hopes alive. And a home game in the playoffs, given the fact that Wellington have won six of their last seven at Westpac Stadium, would be a huge boost for this team. So let's hope that they can put all this behind them and put in a really good showing over the next couple of games.
And Jason, with all of this in mind, obviously, you know, the club is also thinking about the next step, life after Mark Rudin. Do you know who might be the best fit to come in and take over of what Mark Rudin has already achieved in the short space of time?
Oh, another great question, Louise. Yeah, and already that speculation, of course, has started. As soon as, in fact, before the news was official, we were already thinking about who might be next. Once it became apparent that Mark Rudin was unlikely to stay. A lot of names have been thrown around, and I'm sure you've heard the same ones that I have. Warren Joyce is one who's been mentioned. I'm not sure what his situation is with Melbourne City. Marco Kurtz, I understand, he's also been mentioned, but I understand that Marco Kurtz has got an offer back in Europe, which he'll be taking up once he leaves Adelaide United. So I think he sort of comes off the table. I think they would be very, very wise not to go back to an unproven European coach, someone without A-League experience. I think that was Daria Kalasic's downfall. He just didn't have the knowledge of the A-League. If you look closer to home, there are actually very few candidates in New Zealand who have the necessary badges. You know, even the coach of the winning National League side, Eastern Suburbs, is Danny Hay, former All-White international and Premier League player with Leeds United. He doesn't have the necessary coaching badges. I spoke to Danny Hay yesterday and he confirmed to me that he doesn't have the badges that are needed. You know, working towards them, obviously, but wouldn't be able to come in. Just in the last little while, there's been talk of Des Buckingham returning to the job. He, of course, took interim charge when Ernie Merrick left midway through a season. Des is the coach of the under-20 New Zealand side that are about to head off to the World Cup in Poland. He was in Wellington today. Actually caught up with Des Buckingham today for a chat. He's another one. Chris Greenacre has been the go-to caretaker coach every time a coach has left Wellington. Or it might be somebody completely different, somebody who we haven't heard of. And if Mark Rudin's proven anything, it's that, you know, the step from state league up to A league is achievable. If you come in with the right attitude and you have strong beliefs and conviction, that step is possible. And Mark Rudin has proven that. So maybe there's somebody floating around state league in New South Wales, Queensland, or further afield who might fit the bill. But we all know it's going to be somebody. We just don't know at the moment who it's going to be.
What's Anthony Hudson up to these days? I think he's in America, right? Could he be?
Yeah, Colorado Rapids. He's not having great success over there with the Colorado Rapids, unfortunately. He's had a couple of pretty barren, well, a season and a half of pretty barren results, unfortunately. I'm not sure that he would be the right fit, to be honest with you, Josh. Like I say, he doesn't have that knowledge of the A-League. Mm. While he coached the New Zealand side, I just think that there might be a few gaps in his understanding of the way the A-League operates. And I'm not sure that he would be on a list of potential successors.
Well, Piney, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on. We always enjoy chatting to you. And fingers crossed for the Phoenix when they visit Melbourne City this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to it. And I just want to also just pass on my congratulations to to Perth Glory. I've got to know Tony Pinata a little bit over the years and was delighted and not at all surprised to see him part of the success over there. Tony Sage, Tony Popovich, Jacob Burns and the entire playing group. I was delighted for Perth Glory to see them lift the Premier's plate. And who knows, guys, a distance derby grand final. Wouldn't be the most outrageous suggestion you've ever heard, I'm sure.
No, because I suggested that the other day.
Love it, Louise. Good stuff.
All right. Thanks for that, Jason. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, guys. See you.